This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, as I usually do, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. So if you would like either of those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going to finish our lessons on Luke. This will be the last lesson with regard to Luke, at least for the time being. And I have really enjoyed going through the book of Luke with you. I just want to read from you with you from Luke chapter 3 and verse 3 as we close this series out on the book of Luke. Luke chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." And then in Luke 24 and verse 47, now Luke chapter 3 is dealing with John the Baptist. Luke 24 and 47 is dealing with the commission the Lord leaves for his disciples and ultimately for us. And that commission is, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And again, as we look at this, we see we're having repentance and baptism linked together. Now, we have to understand, and I've tried to explain this as we go through the scriptures, that if you look up all of the references to repentance, and then if you look up all the references to faith, you'll find out that by and large, the results of repentance and the results of faith are exactly the same. And I have tried to explain that we can't come to faith until we repent. And repentance really has to do with having a change of mind where we agree with God instead of arguing with God. And once we agree with God instead of arguing with God, then we are able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the Lord wants us to publicly confess that. And with John the Baptist, they publicly confessed that through baptism. It was not believer's baptism. It was a baptism that identified them with the sin of Israel of having turned away from God and having served idols. It was a baptism that confessed that sin and prepared them for the coming of the Lord. And so John's baptism of repentance is not what we are commanded to do today, but as believers, when we repent, that is, when we quit arguing with God, when we come to understand our sin, when we realize we're lost, and when we realize that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and depend upon that truth, when we become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to publicly confess that by baptism. And our baptism does not identify us with Israel or the sin of Israel. Our baptism identifies us with the Lord, and it identifies us with a new life in Christ. And so while Luke's gospel has not preached the new birth to us, it has preached the results of the new birth to us, because when we repent, we're going to have a change of mind, whether it be with regard to our morality, whether it be with regard to what God we should worship, whether it be with regard to whether there is a God, whatever in problem we have that keeps us from believing in God, we're going to have to change our minds and say God is right even when that makes me wrong. And when we do that, we'll be able to trust in the truth that Christ died for our sins. And when we trust in that truth, we are born again. We are born of God. As many as received him, John 1 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And so the gospel changes our minds and our hearts. And in Israel's case, they were worshiping the wrong gods. And of course, it caused them to also violate the Old Testament law, the Old Testament moral law, because pagan gods look at morality differently than God does. And in our case, we often find that our problem is dealing with the issue of whether God himself exists in our secular society. And once we come to the conclusion, as it says in Hebrews 11, that God is, then we can deal with the issue of what's keeping us from trusting in God. And we find out that in many cases it's the issue of morality, not so much the issue of which God is right, but the issue of morality. And whatever issue we have to change our minds on that. Repentance does not mean that once we trust Christ that we will never have a problem with doubts or with sin again. But it does mean that our attitude is changed and that we say God is right even when that makes us wrong. And the thing that's nice about that is then we can go to the scriptures and get instruction and help in a practical way for our daily lives, and we can get hope for eternity. We'll know that we're ready for that day when we pass over to the other side, unless we are fortunate enough to be alive when the Lord returns, because we know as we go on through the scriptures that the Lord has promised that he will come again. As we look at Luke then, there's a couple other things that I think it would be interesting for us to note. The book starts out with the angel Gabriel appearing to Zacchaeus, and it ends up with two angels appearing to the women at the tomb. So angels sort of are the bookends with regard to this whole story. And remember that those two angels at the tomb said, "Why seek the living among the dead?" And we are reminded that even the angels were thrilled to find out that the Old Testament scriptures had been fulfilled and that Christ had died and had been buried and was raised again and had fulfilled scripture. And I think the angels look on, as we see in 1 Corinthians 11, they look on even today and recognize the obedience of the church is something that is an object lesson to them of devotion to the Lord. Now, when we look at the first part of the book, it deals with the Lord as a man, because this is written as this book is written to prove that the Lord is not only God, but he's the Son of Man. It deals with the humanity of Christ. It's written really for Gentiles. It's a Gentile that writes the book, and it's written for Gentiles. And the first part of the book deals with the Lord calling and sending disciples and doing miracles and proving that he is who he claimed to be. But as we go through the book and we say we get to chapter 15, there we have something that I hope we all remember. We sometimes say it's the parable of three lost things. But the parable that most of us will remember there, we aren't likely to remember as much about the lost sheep or the lost coin as we are about the lost son, the prodigal son. And so in that story, we find out that the grace of the father is shown to a son who repents and comes back to the father. And it reminds us that none of us are beyond hope, no matter how far we've traveled away from God. If we repent and come back to the Father, that's where we'll find blessing. And that son did that. And so we have the story of the prodigal, the son who wasted his substance with riotous living. We have that parable in that chapter. And then in chapter 16, we have something that is really important, because we have the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. And Lazarus, who had been a beggar and had not had it very good in this life, he's carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man can see Abraham and Lazarus. He can talk, he can feel. And people have tried to explain this away and say it's nothing more than a parable. But friend, it's one of those places where God helps us understand what lies beyond this little shroud that we call time when we go into eternity. And that's why I preach so fervently on this program that we need to be ready for that day, because when we look at Luke 16, we can see that those who die without Christ are going to suffer for having rejected him. And those who may not have had it too good in this life, but who have trusted him, they're going to have it made throughout the endless ages of eternity. And we could get into where paradise is and and all of the things connected with this chapter, but just remember that you're either saved or you're lost, you're either ready or you're not, and when you pass to the other side, it's either going to be good or it's going to be bad, but it's going to be for all eternity. Now, the passage in Luke 16 really doesn't tell us how to be sure we're saved. But when we come to chapter 19, we find out how to be sure that we're in the place of blessing rather than in the place where people are suffering throughout the endless ages of eternity, because we have the story of Zacchaeus, a publican. And in that passage, this man, who the Jews would have considered a great sinner, he wants to see the Lord, and he finds out that salvation is in the Lord. And in that passage, we find out that the whole purpose of Luke is to prove to us that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I believe that coming back to Luke 16, the beggar who died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, he had trusted in the Lord. He was one of those who was lost, who repented and believed. And then we come to the rich man, and he was one like the Pharisees who never understood their sin or their need of a Savior. So many people today claim to be Christians, but they're nothing more than secular Christians trying to live a Christian life, and they're offering to God what they think are their good works, and as far as God is concerned, they're doing evil because they've never repented and believed in the Lord. And there's a day coming when, if we were to go back into other passages, particularly the sermons on the mount, we'd find the Lord is going to tell them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And he says that very same thing in Luke chapter 13, I believe it is. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." And so very self-righteous people can be working iniquity because they're offering their works as though those works are good enough to make them righteous enough to be in heaven, and nobody in this life is without sin. Then in Luke 22, the Lord establishes the Lord's Supper. He wants to be remembered. In Luke 23, we have the story of the two thieves on the cross, and one of them has an 11th hour conversion. And then in chapter 24, we have the commission again. And when we look at the commission in each of the Gospels, we find out that the commission goes beyond the Jewish nation to all the nations, and that includes us today. And friend, I hope that you know what it means to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus and to have this new life that is available in Christ, and be prepared so that when that day comes, when you meet God, you are in the place of blessing and not in the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon all that have listened today. We thank thee for this book that is so inspiring and helpful to us, this book of Luke. We commit all that has been of thyself into your hands and trust you'll use it for your glory. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening. Thank you.